Welcome to this meeting for the English Speaking Council. Today I would like to speak about the biblical calendar. When we are born in a Christian-minded world, we are taught from the beginning how to count the time. And the Roman way of counting is very extended over all the world. So most people today believe that the day starts at midnight. And if you read the Bible, you will see that that's not the way of counting the day. If you go to Genesis 1, you see that the day starts when the sun goes down, because it starts with the darkness. It was night, and then it was day, the first day. Or evening and morning, that's the way of speaking, right? So the day, the word day in Hebrew, yom, has at least four different meanings. One is the time when there is light. That would be about 12 hours. And the second meaning is the 25 hours, if we speak our language about hours, from sunset to sunset, that would be a day, a biblical day. When the sun goes down, the new day starts. And that's very important to understand, because if we want to walk with God, we have to be aware of how He is counting the time. And He revealed to Adam and Eve from the beginning His way of counting the time. And then people started to twist his ways. So today we have a very different way of counting time. And that's why people if we speak from the prophetic point of view, most Christians are not connected with the biblical timing. And if you're not connected to the biblical timing, you will not be able to walk in a prophetic way. You will not be able to know what is happening. And when God is working in our world, He is using a very specific timetable. And if we know what timetable God is using, we will know how to walk with Him in His time. So it's very important for us to study God's way of measuring time, and to calculate and put to everything in his calendar. So when we speak about God's calendar or the biblical calendar, we have to go to the Jewish people to get to know, to find out how to count days, weeks, months, and years. Very important. So, because if you cannot put the biblical message in a Christian calendar or in a Roman Western world calendar, you will twist the biblical message and you will be outside of God's time. And you know, when Yeshua came to Jerusalem and cried over the city, He said, "If you would know today what would have given you peace, then the city would not be destroyed. But now the Romans will come, the city will be destroyed, and the temple will be destroyed, because you did not know the time of your visitation." So they could know exactly what day He would go into Jerusalem as the coming Messiah. They would know by the calendar that God revealed in His Torah when the Messiah would come in riding on a donkey in Jerusalem. So they would know that that was the Messiah. It was a special day. From the beginning it was prophesied that He would come that day. And because they didn't know the time of God's revealing, when God revealed His secrets, and in this moment he revealed his Messiah to Israel, they failed. And the Romans came and destroyed the city because they did not know the time of the visitation. So it's very important to know the time of God's visitation. There is a time for everything. If you read the book of Solomon's book of how do you say that in English?
Ecclesiastes,
that's very Latin, but that's the word. Okay. He says there is a time for everything. But you have to know God's times to be able to know when God is doing things and work with him in his times. So the first thing we have to know is to know how can we count the days? When does a new day start? So we have to change our minds if we are born in a Christian way of thinking and start to think when the sun goes down, there is a new day. Okay, that's very important. The day starts with darkness, and then comes the light. That's the way of counting, God's way of counting days. And every seventh day is a day to have break. That's the Sabbath, Shabbat in Hebrew. And when God created the universe, he created during 6 days, and he rested the seventh day. And that word rest is Shabbat. Shabbat. It means to not in first place to rest, but to have a break, to make a break. So God revealed from the beginning a cycle of week with 6 days work and 1 day not working. And the word work has to do with creation, creative work. Not all works are that kind of work that should not be done on the seventh day. That's not the issue today. Someday we'll speak about that. So there are special times when God works and when he does not work. And if we know about those things, we will be able to be very focused, prophetically speaking, on what God is doing and when he will do or when he is doing the things. God revealed his calendar to mankind and especially to Israel. And we have everything we need in the Torah of Moses and also in the Jewish tradition. So I will show you now, we have to think about how to divide time the right way. And I will do a very quick overview of this issue first, and then we'll go into some special areas. I am projecting right now two calendars and a comparison between the Roman Western calendar and the Jewish calendar. And if you see the title of the photo, or you can say the picture, it's called the Festivals of Israel. And this is very important. I will send it to you. It's very important that you study this, because this is the framework, the annual framework for God's moving in this world. If we understand these things, we will understand very much of God's way of moving and what he is planning to do. This is the program that God gave for his intervention in this creation. It's very important for us to know these things. So if you can compare these months, you see April the fourth Roman month, May, June, July, etc. We started in April because the Bible starts counting from the Exodus, from the time that the children of Israel left Egypt. If you find, if you read in Exodus chapter 12, God says that this is the first month for you. Let's go to that scripture. Exodus 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. And it's very important to see the word for you. That means that there is a difference here. There is difference between you and the others. For you, this is the first month, but not for the others. That means that from that day, or from that month, let's say, from the Exodus, from the when the Israel people of Israel left Egypt, that for them is the first month. So the way God wants Israel to count the months has to do with the liberation of Egypt. That's the beginning. But for other cultures and other people, that was not the first month. Of course, they did not use the Roman calendar because it came very much later. But we can see in the Roman calendar traces from the original Adam and Eve calendar when we speak about the months. You can see the word September, for example. The word September comes from the word septo. That's the word for seven in Latin. So if you compare this September month, it should be the seventh month, but now it's the ninth month in the Roman calendar, right? September is number nine. But in the beginning, that was the seventh month. If you can just go down, step down to the Jewish calendar, compare September with the Jewish calendar, you will find you are very close to the seventh Jewish month, Tishri. So you have traces from the Jewish calendar in the Roman calendar. Of course, the Jews have been in Rome and had a very strong influence over Roman culture for thousands of years. That means that you can find some connections. You see the word October. October comes from 8. And it's close to the eighth month of the Jewish calendar. November. That's not nine in Latin. December, you have decimal. December is coming from the word 10. So, and then you have other names of the Roman calendar. January, February, March. Those are gods, Roman gods, pagan gods. It's very interesting to see that there is a connection. Now, the first month of the Jewish calendar is called in the scripture the month of Aviv. And from the Babylonian captivity, that calendar received the Babylonian name Nisan. So we have two names of that month in the scriptures. And as the Torah says that this month is for you the first month of the year. That means that for the others, some other month was the first one of the year. Which one was it? It was the seventh. So the seventh month, now called Tishri, in the beginning was the first month of the year. The Jewish scriptures, Talmud, Gemara, speak about, there is a discussion between two rabbis, when God created the world, in the first month or in the seventh month. And one says that he created the world in Nisan. And the other says that he created the world in Tishri. That's the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. And the Jewish tradition and the Jewish, let's say, halakha, the law, the Jewish law, is based on the creation of the world in the seventh month. So really, God created the world during 6 days, right? And the man was created on the sixth day. So when on the Jewish calendar was man created? The first day of the seventh month. The first day of the seventh month. That's very important. I would suggest that you write these things down. I will also send you the recording so you can listen to it once more. According to Jewish tradition, Adam and Eve were created the sixth day of the week, the first day of the seventh month. But for him, that was not the seventh month, of course, because it was transformed to the seventh month after the Exodus of Egypt, or just before the Exodus. Because God said, for you, this month is the first month of the year, Exodus 12, 1 and 2. Until then, it had been the seventh month, but now it was transformed to the first month of the year. So before it was the seventh, it means that the first month of the first year was when Adam was created, of course. So when Adam was created, he said, this is the first day of the first month of the first year. Because before Adam was created, they didn't count the time. Time to count the days was given to man. Now, God counted the days when he created, and we don't know if every day was 24 hours or 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years. We don't know. And that's not the issue. The issue is when Adam was created, he started to count time. The first day of the first month of the first year. And people from his day started to count together days, weeks, months, and years, according to the sun, the moon, and the stars. Genesis 1 explains that God put the lights to show man times, so he could count the times correctly. To be able to count a day, you need to look at the sun and the stars. Because when the sun goes down, it's still light a little time. And when it gets dark, there is a moment when you can see the stars. And the Jewish law is very important to know when the day starts. Why? Because God says you have to circumcise a boy on the eighth day of his birth. So if a boy is born just the time when the sun goes down, we don't know if he was born the day before or the day after. So we need to know exactly when the day starts, the new day, and when the day ends. And that's not an easy question. Until today, the rabbis are discussing to be able to know exactly when the new day starts. Because you can say, okay, when the sun goes down, it's still light. And God says it was evening. It means that it was dark. And then it was morning. It was day. It was light the first day. So the first day started with the darkness. So we cannot put the light. It has to be dark when we start to count the day. It could not be a small light from the day before. So we don't need only the sun to be able to count the days. We need also the stars. So when we can see two or three witnesses of the stars in the sky during the evening, then we know that the new day has started. Then we have to discuss if it speaks about three big stars, three middle stars, or three small stars. Because the big stars you see first, and the middle stars you see a little later, and the small stars you see a little later. So when does the new day start? When two or three big stars can be seen with the eye, etc. You see that this is a very complicated discussion that the rabbis have to do, to be able to know if the boy has to be circumcised the day before or the day after. Because if he's born exactly when the sun goes down, or when the stars start to be shown on the sky, when shall we circumcise our boy? The Torah says it has to be the eighth day. And if he was born a few minutes before the stars were seen, including before the sun went down, let's say he was born 5 minutes before the sun went down. That means we have to count one full day. One full day. 5 minutes. It's one day. So when the sun goes down, it's the second day. Even if it's 10 minutes later. Second day. And then we have to count to the eighth day so we know when we have to circumcise our boy. That's a very important thing for the Jewish people to know. So we can see now the discussions about day, when the day starts. It's not easy. Okay, let's go back. When God created heaven and earth, he used 6 days of his creation, of his way of calculating time. Probably it was 24 hours days when he created, because when Adam was created, the sixth day, he started to count time as we do today. And I don't believe God changed his way of counting time before Adam was created until and changed his way of calculating just when man was born or created. So I think it was 24 hours creation, the first day and the second day also 24 hours, as we count time one day. But that's not the issue. The important thing is to know that when Adam was created the sixth day of the week was the first day of the month. The first day of the first month of the first year of mankind living on earth. And that was the sixth day of the week. Man was created and put inside the week that God already had started before the creation of the man. So the next day, the second day that the man lived, he could experience the Shabbat, what God showed him. He was in connection with God from the beginning, and he knew today God is resting. The Creator is not creating today. He's been creating for 6 days, and now he finished his creation. The seventh day was given to man. The Shabbat was created for man. Man was not created for the Shabbat. So the first thing that man had to learn was to put aside one day of the week to rest. And that was the seventh day of the week, starting at sunset and finishing at the next day at sunset. And then he had to know that 6 days he had to work, and the seventh day he could rest, like God did, because he was Son of God, and the Son imitates his Father, and he does what he sees that his Father is doing. So from that day, mankind started to count weeks of seven days. And the seventh day is the day that you rest. You work 6 days and rest the seventh, and that's the Shabbat. It's not the Sunday. It's not the Friday. It's the Saturday, Shabbat. Not really Saturday, because when we speak about Saturday, we speak about from the midnight to midnight. That's the Roman way of calculating. That's the astronomical way, but that's not the biblical way of counting. That's not the prophetical way of counting. So if you want to be inside of God's prophetical word, you have to understand that the day does not start at 12 o'clock in the night or at zero. No. The day starts when the sun goes down. And the Shabbat, the day of the Lord, when God rested, the Creator rested, is not Sunday. It's the sun, when the sun goes down on Friday afternoon until Saturday afternoon when the sun goes down, that's the time that God has put for a resting time for all creation, for all mankind. Now, when Israel went out of Egypt, God said, this month is the first for you, not for the others. They can continue to count the months as they did from the creation. That was about 2,000 years later. More than 2,000 years. So mankind was counting the first of Tishri as the first month for thousands of years. But now when God says to Israel, you have to leave Egypt, and this month is the first for you. That was a shift, a change of the calendar. But it was not a change of the months. It was a change of which month is the first one of the year. So suddenly we have two new years. The new year of the creation, first day of Tishri, and the new year of the liberation, the first day of Nisan. So we have two new years in the Jewish thinking from now on. When is the month of Nisan, or the month of Aviv? Aviv means the mature crop of barley. So it has to do with the agriculture thinking, when the barley, not the wheat, the barley is prepared, is mature enough to be reaped, to be harvested, and that's the month when the Israelites went out of Egypt. So it has not to do with Ghana, nothing to do with Sweden, nothing to do with Australia. It has to do with the Middle East. It has to do with the area of Egypt and Israel, the land of Canaan, because in that area, the barley is maturing in that time of the year, March, April, if you count the Roman calendar. That's the springtime. That means that the Torah was given to the land of Israel and is based on what's happening in the creation, in the nature, in Israel, not in other countries of the world. So the first day of the first month has to do with the harvest of the barley, the seeds of barley. That's the liberation. That's the freedom month. That's very, very important. Now we will take a look at the astronomical foundations or frameworks to be able to understand the difference between the moon year and the sun year. These are not easy things. And this is very, very basic and very important for us to know if we want to be prophetic in our thinking according to timetables. From the beginning, I believe, and we have also in the scriptures and also in the old history recordings of the old cultures, there has been a shift in our solar system, and everything shows that from the beginning, the solar year and the moon year were the same. They were 360 days. And they something happened in history, in our solar system, that changed that fact. Because if you count the solar year, what is that? It's the time that the sun needs, the time that the earth needs to go one circle, one turn around the sun. When the earth is moving around its own axle, that's one day. And the earth is moving around its own axle, and it goes around the sun also at the same time. So it takes 365 days for the earth to go around the sun. That's the actual fact, astronomical fact. If we look at the biblical calendars, and you see the book of Daniel, and the book of Revelation, you can see that a year is 360 days. Some Christians speak about prophetical year. It's okay. But that, I'm sure that was the original year. Something happened that made a shift, a change in our solar system. So we have now years of 365 days and a fourth of a day, a little more than 365. There were five and a little more days added to the original solar year of 360 days. Now, if we can see the sun, we can calculate a year to be 360 days. Now, if we look at the moon and see when the moon starts to be brighter and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it goes back and disappears. And then it comes back. Then we have a way of seeing a moon month. The word month comes from the moon. Month, moon, the same root. We can now look at the moon and see how many days do we need for one cycle for the moon to be a new moon to the next time it's the new moon. The new moon is when the moon has been dark, we don't see it for 1 or 2 days, and then we start to see it a little. The moment when we start to see the moon, it's called the new moon. From one new moon to another, how much time is it? How many days are there? I'm sure, my conviction is that in the beginning it was 30 days. now we have 29 and a half. And I'm sure something happened in the history of our solar system that changed this fact. Because if the moon has the cycle, what is the moon month? It's the time that the moon needs to go one circle, one turn around the earth. And that takes 29 and a half days right now. I believe it was 30 days before. But if you put one moon month, if it was 30 days, and multiply that by 12, you will get 360 days. 12 times 30 equals 360. So if you look at the moon, if the moon would have 30 days cycle, you would have 12 moons, 12 new moons, and you would know the time of a year, exactly the same time as the sun, as the earth takes to make one turn around the sun. If that would be perfect. Now it's not like that. I think that was the way in the beginning. But let's say it doesn't matter right now. Now we have a little shift. The sun year is 365 and a quarter of a day. And the moon year is 354 days. Why? Because from one new moon to the other, we have 29 and a half days. And if you multiply 29 and a half 12 times, then you get 354 days. So the moon year, that means 12 moon months. The moon year is 354 days. And the sun year is 365 days. So there is a difference. You have 11 days difference between the sun year and the moon year. And this is not easy. You have a Psalm 104, verse 19. It says, He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. The word seasons has to do with the festivals, Moadim in Hebrew. It has to do with the moon. So the sun was not created to mark when the festivals of Israel will be celebrated. It's the moon. So God said to Israel, you have to look at the moon to be able to know when you should celebrate Pesach, Chag HaMatzot, Omer Reshit, Shavuot, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret. That means when you celebrate Passover, you have to look at the moon. And when you have the unleavened bread, you don't need to know which month it is according to the moon. The right day, etc. When you will celebrate Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, you have to know, look at the moon to be able to know what day exactly you have to have that celebration. So the moon is marking the times for the festivals of Israel. Now we have a big problem. Today, if we count 12 moon months, the year would be 354 days, right? But if we count the sun year, we will have 365 days. That means that there is a difference of 11 days between the moon year and the sun year. And the month that the Israelites have to celebrate the feast of Passover, Pesach, it has to be the month of the Aviv, it says in Hebrew, the month of Aviv. Aviv has to do with the sun. Aviv is the mature crop of barley. And you know that the nature, the creation, the production of the trees, the wheat, the barley, all the fruits of the earth, they don't follow the moon. They follow the sun year. So when the winter is over in Israel, the cold time, in December, January, February, then it comes the springtime, March, April, May. That's the springtime. In that time, it's time to harvest the first crops of the year. The barley. And later on, a little later on, it's time to harvest the wheat. So God says, when you have the month of the reaping of the barley, because Aviv is the Hebrew word for the barley to be matured enough to be reaped. That's the month when you have to celebrate Pesach. And that has to do with the sun, not with the moon. With the moon and the sun, because the month has to start when you see the new moon. That's the first day of the month. But if it's not springtime, if we don't have any barley, it's not time to reap yet, we cannot say this is the first month of the year, because it's too cold. So we have to wait 1 month more. And we have to proclaim next month as the first month of the year, because the solar year is 11 days longer than the moon year. So sometimes we have to wait an extra month for the spring to be ready to give us the barley. That's why we have to add an extra month sometimes. You see here, we have on the right side the second Adar, 13 months of the year. That's a moon month. Every month is 29 and a half days. So if we count 12 moon months, we will get 354 days. And let's say this year, the first year, it's okay. Next year, we will have the first day of the first month of Nisan or Aviv, 11 days earlier compared with the solar year. 11 days earlier. Okay, it's a little more cold, but it could be that the crops of the barley is ready to be reaped. Let's celebrate Pesach because we have the barley. And then we go one more year, and then we will have 22 days earlier. If we compare with the first year, we have almost 1 month, 22 days earlier. We get to the end of the 12th month, the 12th month of the lunar month, the moon month, and we see it's too cold. We don't have any barley this year, so we have to add 29 and a half days, 1 month, and that's the way we live today. Some years we have 12 months, some years we have 13 months. In the time of the Second Temple, 2,000 years ago, when Yeshua was here, they had witnesses every month to see the new moon, when the new moon can be seen, and they proclaimed with the shofar and with the silver trumpets, the new moon is seen now. This is the first day of the month. And it was proclaimed from the temple in Jerusalem. As long as we had the temple, we could proclaim the new moons every month looking at the sky of Jerusalem. And when we came to the 12th month and the final days of the 12th month, and we saw that there was no barley ready to be reaped, we had to proclaim one more month that year and say, we don't have the barley is not ready yet. This is the month of the second Adar. So we have to wait one more month this year to be able to celebrate Passover, Pesach. Because at Passover we have to have the new crops from the barley and the wheat. And that way they had until the temple was destroyed, the year 70 according to Roman calendar. And from that day, and the people of Israel also in the year of 135, it was expelled from Jerusalem. The Jews were scattered around all the world. And then we could not look at the sky in Jerusalem and proclaim every new month. We couldn't do it. And we had a problem in our calendar. And then there was a rabbi in the 4th century who decided, he made the calculations of these months according to mathematics, and he decided to fix dates for the first moon, first day of the month, and to add an extra month every 2 or 3 years. And he made a very good work. And that calendar is a fixed one. And we follow that calendar today. So we can calculate before when the first day of the seventh month will come. Because that's the day when we have to celebrate the new year of the creation. But in the times of the temple, of course, the first day of the seventh month was okay because we had the first day of the first month and then we knew the seventh month. But the problem, the critical month was the first month. That's why sometimes people didn't know when they should celebrate Pesach, Passover, if it's next month or one extra month later. But when we have established the first month of the year, then we will know all the festivals that will come after. We just need to look at the new moon every month. But today we don't look at the moon. We just follow astronomical calculations according to a very smart rabbi. And every Jewish community follows this fixed calendar. It was made by Hillel II in the year 354 or 50. I don't remember exactly when it was. And this calendar has not been discussed There are not two calendars, different calendars in the Jewish world. Everybody agrees that this is a very good way of calculating the time. It's very close to the original natural calendar, but it has some adjustments because of the situation of the Jewish people outside of Israel. So they decided if the new moon comes on a special day, in a special month, we will put it one day later or one day before, because we don't want the feast of Yom Kippur, for example, to be on a Friday. Because we don't want to fast one day before Shabbat. It's very, very difficult because we need to cook food before Shabbat. And if we have fasting day on Friday, or Yom Shishi, sixth day of the week, we cannot cook for Shabbat. So we decide not to have Yom Kippur on Friday. So you don't have any from that date until today, the Jews have not had any Yom Kippur on Friday. So when it should be Yom Kippur on Friday, they change the new moon and put it one day before or one day after. So Yom Kippur can fall on Saturday or on Shabbat or Yom Chamishi, the fifth day of the week, Thursday, but never on Friday. That's an example that they adjusted the calendar according to the needs of the people, not to put too much burden on the shoulders of the people, especially when they didn't live in the land of Israel. It was very important to ease the burden of the fulfillment of the commandments. So that's why we have this kind of calendar today. This time we will stop here, and next time, with God's help, we will go into details about the feasts. Pesach, Chag HaMatzot, Omer Reshit, Shavuot, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, etc. Then we have Chanukah and Purim. We have two different kind of feasts in Israel. The major feast festivals are from the Torah, from the God's Word. And then we have minor festivals that were created during the history of Israel because of very important things that happened, and the people of Israel were saved from destruction. And then we have festivals celebrating those victories in history. But those festivals are not written in the Torah, in the books of Moses. And everything, every feast, every appointed time on God's calendar revealed to Israel is speaking about divine invention, divine activity in the world in different prophetic dimensions. And all of them speak about the Messiah. All of those feasts speak about the coming of the Messiah. And we have two groups of feasts, the spring feasts and the autumn feasts, the fall feasts, and two different groups of feasts. And the first group speaks about the first coming of the Messiah, and the second group of feasts speak about the second coming of the Messiah. And when he was here the first time, he fulfilled the prophetic secrets revealed in the spring feasts. He died on Pesach. He rose up, Omer Reshit. He was anointed as the heavenly priest on Shavuot. And he will come back on Yom Teruah. Rosh Hashanah is the time when the Messiah comes back. And then when he comes back, he will clean the people of Israel from all the sins in one day, Yom Kippur. And then we will have the celebration for 1,000 years of the wedding of the Lamb and his bride. That's Sukkot. That's the Feast of the Booths, the Tabernacle Feasts. And then we have the 8-day, Shemini Atzeret, 8-day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. That means the 8,000 years, millennium. We have 7,000 years from Adam to new heavens and new earth. These things are very, very important. When we see the weeks, we can compare them. Every day of the week, we can compare with 1,000 years. One day is 1,000 years for the Lord. And 1,000 days is one year, one day. So when we have a week with 7 days, we have 6,000 years of work. And then we have 1,000 years of rest. That's the Shabbat. 1,000 years of millennium. That's the Messianic reign from Jerusalem during 1,000 years. That's Sukkot. Sukkot speaks about the millennium when the Messiah will sit on the throne of David, his father in Jerusalem. We will celebrate for 1,000 years Sukkot. And Sukkot is only a parenthesis. It's not the final house for the bride. It's only the wedding time for 1,000 years. Then we will have the new heavens, a new earth. We have the new Jerusalem. That's the city. That's the house for the bride. That house will come after the 1,000 years of celebration, after the wedding. The new Jerusalem will come down on the 8th millennium. That's why it's called the Shemini Atzeret. It means in Hebrew, the 8th day to conclude. The 8th conclusion. Atzeret means conclusion. And that means that God will introduce the new Jerusalem 8,000 years when 7,000 years has passed from Adam, from the creation of Adam, this new Jerusalem will come down the first day of the 8th millennium from the creation. Many things are here hidden in those feasts. You can understand God's plans for creation, God's plans for the history and the future. You can see the Messiah. You can understand where we are right now in this timetable, and we will speak more about these things in coming lessons. Thank you very much.